as we endeavor to be true worshipers in this life, we have many responsibilities in the sight of our Creator, as we are informed concerning within the pages of the inspired Word of God. As we study the Old Testament, we see how God has always dealt with mankind. We come to an understanding that we have responsibilities to follow the commands of our Creator without adding to or subtracting from those commands, the authorities that He has given to us in His inspired Word. There are many, many doctrines that men have concocted down through the centuries. It's our responsibility, if we're going to be true worshipers, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Not only are we to be sincere and not hypocrites, one-minded, single-minded people, but we must worship God in truth. That means according to His authority. That means we cannot be involved in following any portion of the doctrines and commandments of men. Unfortunately, man never ceases to create more doctrines and commandments by taking God's Word and adding to and taking away from it, twisting it to teach and put forth doctrines that God never intended for His Word to put forth. One such doctrine that we'll look at this morning is premillennialism. And of course, in a few moments that I have, I couldn't begin to cover the many ramifications of that false doctrine. But let's just look at this word, premillennialism. Pre, of course, means before. And millennialism involves the thousand years that are involved in this thought. The specific question that I have that we're actually dealing with this morning is there going to be a rapture? Now, actually there's two things that I'm going to look at on this, because as we'll look at that word, we'll see that there is a word in the Bible that deals with that word rapture, and we'll look at that later on. Perhaps you've heard of the rapture. In your lifetime, people of various religious groups speaking about this word rapture, that is supposed to take place in the future. So that question is there going to be such? Will it take place the way many are teaching today? You may have seen a bumper sticker in the past that said something like, in case of the rapture, this car will be without a driver. Those used to be real popular back down the road. I haven't seen many lately. But it's from this doctrine of premillennialism. The most popular way this word is used today is in relation to that doctrine called premillennialism, which teaches that Christ is coming back two more times. Now, when we talk about this particular doctrine that man has concocted, that's very important to remember that one of the focal main points of this doctrine that man has concocted is that there's going to be two more comings of Jesus Christ. One they call the rapture, and the other they call the second coming. Most of them teach that this will take place before the millennium, or the thousand years, referred to in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. We'll go look at that in a few moments. Premillennialism demands a literal fulfillment of that scripture, especially of the prophecy that we're talking about there in Revelation 20, 1 through 5. Whereas when the Bible is honestly studied with an open heart, one will see the spiritual fulfillment of such passages instead of a physical, literal fulfillment. To cite a quick example, we look at the promises of a kingdom. And kingdom is very important, because kingdom, you can't separate the thousand-year reign from the kingdom, because that's involved in this doctrine. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, excuse me, It says, from that time began Jesus to preach and to say, repent ye, for the kingdom is at hand. Now, all of us understand what at hand means. That comes from a phrase that if you have your hand and you put out your hand in front of you, it is close by. It is at hand, nearby. In Mark 9 and verse 1, Jesus said, there are some here of them that stand by, who shall in no wise taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. Yes, God's kingdom was to come in that generation, and so it did. Paul stated in Colossians 1 and verse 13 that God has delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. How could He translate us into something that had not yet been established? Again in Hebrews chapter 12, and looking at verse 28 of that chapter, excuse me, it says, wherefore receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service while pleasing to God with reverence or godly fear and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Where we see the attitude that we must have before our Creator. It's not the kind of attitude that people are preaching today. That God is just a God of love and there's no severity with God. But here we see that God is a God that we are to reverence or have godly fear and awe. And that kingdom that he talks about there had already been established, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So in reality, we have a spiritual kingdom which was established on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ, not a physical kingdom yet to be set up on the earth. We have a spiritual reign of Christ from heaven, not a physical reign upon the earth in Jerusalem in the future. That's what the man-made doctrine of premillennialism actually teaches. In fact, the fallacy of the premillennial teaching is clearly seen in reference to Revelation 20 and chapter 20 verses 1 through 5, wherein they try to make the text literal, thus coming up with the literal thousand-year reign on the earth. But let's turn and read that passage now in Revelation chapter 20 and verses 1 through 5. Revelation chapter 20 and verses 1 through 5. Beginning at verse 1, and I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the abyss, and shut it and sealed it over him, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be finished. After this he must be loosed for a little time. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, and for the word of God, and such as worshipped not the beast, neither his image, and received not the mark upon their forehead, and upon their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years should be finished. And this is the first resurrection. And then he goes ahead and talks more. Down in verse 6, actually, he does talk about the first resurrection. The second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when you look at this text, I want you to notice that all of the main points of premillennialism is not mentioned in this text. And so when we look at it carefully, the premillennial's teaching that between the second coming of Christ and the last resurrection that they talk about, there will be an earthly age or dispensation of time, exactly 1,000 years in length, which they call this millennium, during which they say the Lord Jesus Christ will be seated as king on David's throne in physical Jerusalem, reigning with the saints over all the earth and on the earth. So I want you to notice very carefully concerning this text we've just read that there are 5 points that the main points of premillennialism aren't mentioned in the text at all. Number one, it does not mention the second coming of Christ. Isn't that interesting? So they try to get you to believe that this is talking about the second coming of Christ. It doesn't mention it. Number two, it does not mention a reign on the earth. But they tell us, no, this is talking about a physical reign on the earth. Doesn't mention it. Number three, it does not mention a bodily resurrection. Doesn't mention a bodily resurrection here in this text. As long and hard as you can search for it, it's not there. Doesn't mention a bodily resurrection. Number four, it does not mention us. And if you listen to their teachings, it's always us. But it's not mentioned here. Number five, it does not mention Christ as being on the earth. They say this is talking about Christ on the physical earth. Doesn't say that here. Number six, it does not mention any single distinctive point of the theory constructed upon it through premillennialism. All those points that we've just mentioned, none of them are there. Now, isn't that interesting? The devil has concocted a false doctrine on a scripture that has none of the main principles of that doctrine in it. And anybody that's got an open mind that's looking for the truth can see that. And so we need to understand that. Well, what about this word rapture? Is there going to be a rapture? Okay, the English word rapture is not found in our common versions of the Bible. The word, however, could be properly used in translation of the Greek word harpazo. Harpazo means to be caught up, to be transported, to snatch or catch away. So let us turn to another proof text and notice it carefully in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. There it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So, this word caught up here is the word that we're talking about when we talk about rapture. And so, actually, we can say that there is going to be a rapture, but it's the second coming of Christ. Okay, and that is found in the text that we just went to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17. Now, so I want you to understand that. I'm not saying that there is no rapture. We read about it right here. We've just read about it. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. But what we've got to discern is between good and evil, truth and error. The premillennialist tells us that the Lord is going to come quietly and mysterious to take the saints on what some refer to as the ultimate trip. And so you hear statements like, I was driving down the freeway and all of a sudden all the cars were without drivers. Or some of the cars were without drivers. Or while a championship ball game was being played, the man with the ball suddenly disappeared. But according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 that we just read, this is not the way it will happen. We've just read there in verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Christ's second coming, dear listener, will be an audible, visible coming. It's not going to be some mysterious secret second or coming as they teach in premillennialism. In fact, if you turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, we find this, 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Ah, audible. Nothing silent, mysterious. Audible. The heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements, that's the heavenly bodies, everything in the universe, shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Pretty visible, pretty audible. Does this sound to you like a quiet, silent, mysterious second coming of the Lord? Of course not. We also need to make note that Christ's second coming will be a most visible coming. Going back to 2 Thessalonians, let's look at chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. He says there, and to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire. That's visible. Rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And then it goes on to say, when he shall come. This is talking about the second coming, when he comes the second time. He also says, when he shall come, to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto them, unto you, was believed in that day. It's a visible, audible, not a mysterious, silent second coming. We are told that all physical things will pass away. It's not a silent, quiet, mysterious second coming. It's a most visible second coming. Again, the premillennialists try to make a distinction between the terms manifestation or appearance and coming or presence in relation to his appearing for his saints, what they call the rapture, and the coming with his saints, what they call the second coming. So again, that's one of the primary focal points of the false doctrine of premillennialism, that there's going to be two more comings of Jesus Christ, when the scriptures clearly shows there's only going to be one more coming. There were two comings total. The first coming was when he came to this earth, fulfilling the prophecies of the Messiah coming to this planet and doing what he did for all mankind. But the second coming is yet to come. And it's only one more coming. Well, they actually have three comings then. They have when he came as a babe, born of the Virgin Mary. Then they have the second, the silent, mysterious second coming. Then they have, or the rapture, and then they have the second coming. Well, those last two, they make an additional coming. So they separate these terms, manifestation or appearance, from the terms coming or presence in relation to his appearing, calling one the rapture and the other the second coming. But both terms, dear listener, apply to the same activity, that is the second and final coming of Jesus Christ, when the saints are caught up to meet him in the air and when he presents them to the Father. Go to 1 Thessalonians 3:13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. There we read, "To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints." Not comings, but one. The second coming, which is also the rapture period. The same coming. That will all take place. So my dear friends and listeners, there is only one more coming of Jesus Christ that you read about in the New Testament. That is the second coming. And this being caught up or rapture will not be for a 7-year period, as they teach in premillennialism, but will be forever. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 4:17 again. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with him be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now I want you to notice the last part of that verse 17. It's very important in 1 Thessalonians 4. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It doesn't say anything about the Lord Jesus Christ ever setting foot on this physical planet again. We that are left, that are alive, when he comes, the second coming, will be lifted up to meet him in the air, and there shall we ever be with him. There's no coming back down onto this planet according to the scriptures. Premillennialism is what teaches that. The false doctrine that man has concocted down through the centuries that is not found within the holy pages of God's inspired word. Therefore, we must oppose it and teach and stand against it. This also means that there will only be one resurrection. Now, the premillennialist says, no, there are going to be two. Let's look at a few quick scriptures showing that there's only one. Let's go first to John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. John chapter 5, 28 and 29. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment." One resurrection here. And it's both of the good and the evil. That's not what premillennialism teaches. They teach two. First one for the good during the rapture, 7-year period. Then the second coming, that the evil are raised, and then all the tribulation on the earth, and then Jesus will reign 1,000 years. Or I think they might reverse that. They have the tribulation period, maybe. And there's a lot of variations of premillennialism. There's not just one doctrine. They've got all kinds of different variations of premillennialism. So I get confused myself sometimes with trying to remember which is which. Let's go to another passage there that shows only one more resurrection. Look at Acts 24:15. Acts 24:15. There we read, Paul preaching, "Having hope toward God, which these also themselves look for, that there shall be a resurrection, both of the just and the unjust. Now, that's not talking about two resurrections. It's talking about one resurrection. Look at it. It says, there will be a resurrection. That's single, singular. One resurrection. Both of the just and the unjust. We just read that back in Matthew, John 5, 28 and 29. It's one resurrection of the just and the unjust. Not two separate resurrections. It's all going to happen at one time, the second coming. Go to 2 Thessalonians 1. Next, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10. We read part of this a while ago. Let's read it again. And to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power and flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord, from the glory of his mind, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be marveled at in all them that have believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. So notice two things in those verses. First of all, verse 7, at the revelation, that's a one time and point activity. Revelation, not S, not plural. Revelation. And then go and look at verse 10 again. When he shall come, that's one coming, not plural. So it's the second coming, just as all these other scriptures point out. No, there will not be two separate resurrections, one at the rapture and one later at the judgment. But the Lord will come to punish the wicked and glorify the saints. These are just some scriptures that I wanted you to think about as we looked at that. So we could answer this question then, is there going to be a rapture? And we could put two resurrections here. No. There is going to be a rapture. As we've read in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. But it's going to take place at the second coming. Not as the premillennialist position teaches, that there's going to be a rapture and then a 7-year period, and some of them vary on that amount of time, before Jesus comes the second coming. Now, what about this 1,000 years? Well, when you study the 1,000 years, you find out actually that it is happening right now. The 1,000-year reign, first of all, is not physical. It is symbolical or figurative. It's figurative. Not literal. And it's happening right now. Because when you start studying the context there of Revelation 20, you'll find that the priests are reigning now. He made us to be a kingdom and priests in Revelation chapter 1. And we are reigning with him now on or in this kingdom as priests. All Christians are spiritual priests in the priesthood of God under the law of Christ. This is a 1,000-year reign. But you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. It's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus was on this earth. That's because it's not literal. It's not a literal 1,000 years. It's symbolic or figurative. Just as most of what you read in the book of Revelation is. The prior verses in Revelation 20 talking about Satan being put on a chain for 1,000 years, not a literal time. None of them make that literal, but they want to make this literal. It's like the Jehovah Witnesses, you know, who go to Revelation and want to make the 144,000 literal, but none of the passages around the 144,000 literal that they're all male virgins of the 12 tribes of Israel. They don't want to make that literal, but they want to make their 144,000 literal. You can't do that. You and I have to let the Holy Spirit tell us whether it's figurative or literal by the context and other passages in the Scripture. So the 1,000-year reign must be figurative, and it's in progress right now. And Jesus is reigning in this kingdom that he set up, this spiritual kingdom. So let's, as we seek to be true worshipers in this life, let's endeavor to put God's word first and foremost in our lives and learn to properly apply the scriptures. Learn to discern false doctrines of man with what the scriptures actually teach, because the devil, he takes the scriptures to teach the false doctrines, but he has to put wrong meanings on those scriptures. And as long as we understand that the scriptures are 100% pure and true from the Creator, and he keeps them pure and true for us, there is no contradiction within the writings of those scriptures that God has given us. God doesn't contradict himself. God won't allow man to destroy his word. It will live and abide forever. It is living and active as any sharp as any two-edged sword. It will pierce to the depth of mankind. But we have to love God enough to care more about what he says and what he teaches than what man does with God's word and the concoctions of false doctrines they come up with down through the centuries. And this is one of them. And I hope I've been able to show you how the devil takes these scriptures and teach a false doctrine to make these scriptures teach things they don't teach, and to teach actually opposite positions. Because there's only one second coming, not two. There's only 1,000-year reign, and then we're in it right now. It's symbolical. It's figurative. It's not literal. Christ is not going to set foot again on this earth. And that's how we discern truth from the doctrines and commandments of men. We let God's word do it for us. So I hope this has helped you. There may be someone here this morning that's not a child of God, wants to respond to the gospel and become a Christian, believing that gospel as God puts it forth in his word, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ before men, and being buried with him in baptism, that your sins might be washed away by God in heaven as you reach the blood of Christ, doing his will according to his way. He'll translate you out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. If you have done that, but you become unfaithful, or you want the prayers of the congregation, anything we can help you with, won't you come now as we stand and sing the song selected?